coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello, everyone. If you're just tuning in, this is Lutheran Radio UK. Welcome. You're about to hear yet another episode of the series called Faith That Functions. Today we're going to look at Luke chapter 7, verses 18 to 28. This is the text for the third Sunday in Advent. From the English Standard Version, our text reads, "The disciples of John reported all these things that were being spread about Jesus, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?' And when the men had come to Jesus, they said, 'John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?' In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, 'Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me.' When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. 'What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in kings' courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Once there was a Christian who asked another one of his brothers in Christ, "Do you ever have doubts about God?" That question should be easy to answer because all Christians have doubts at times. But the question is made difficult by fear, perhaps even the fear that the questioner's own doubts might negatively affect the other person's faith. And yet, ironically, what the questioner really wants to hear is that Christians do in fact have doubts, because it was his own doubts that prompted the question in the first place. Therefore, the questioner might benefit from reading about John the Baptist and the doubts he had while in prison. After all, could he, the greatest of all prophets, ever claim to be without a doubt? We know that John knew a lot about the Messiah, who he was supposed to be, etc. Doubt came into the picture, however, for John when he started questioning what he thought he knew about Jesus, and so even about his own calling. We know John had been quite sure about Jesus. He knew that it was his job to prepare the way for the Messiah. That much had been revealed to him. John knew how to recognize the Christ. And when he saw Jesus, he proclaimed nothing short of that truth. There was the great dialogue between Jesus and John. He baptized him in the Jordan River. A voice even spoke from heaven. Was this not the Christ? Or was he, as Ebenezer Scrooge put it, a bit of undigested potato, playing on John's imagination? Was he too misled by this Jesus? For what was John to do? Left in prison, he had only his own imagination to plague him. Was the Messiah not here to free the captives? There he was in prison, and we know he never was made free. Or was he? We know that Jesus spoke of a greater freedom, and it was not restricted to the shackles that this world can put on us. But it was hard for John, for that is what he experienced. He was arrested, denounced, mocked and rebuked in public. There he was, in limbo, in one of Herod's cages, waiting for something to happen. Was he to be executed, or would his message get across to Herod so that he could depend on his worldly grace? Of course, John had come to grips with the fact that his future was going to be quite bleak. Unfortunately, that kind of mentality also naturally leads to doubt, and sadly his thoughts shifted to doubting even Jesus. He takes a second look at what he knows about him. Just what does he know? Sometimes he thinks to himself that Jesus should have come to bring judgment. Was it right for Jesus to have only done works of compassion and mercy? So he sends his disciples to find out more. Quite simply, given John's circumstances, this is perfectly understandable. He wanted everything Jesus was doing to make sense for him. John was in a bad situation, and comfort from Jesus that all he had done was not in vain would be a very good thing at this point. He just wants clarification. Is Jesus doing something bigger than confirming, for instance, the righteous judgment John has brought upon King Herod? Is there something bigger than to try to publicly ridicule our public servants and those who are in authority over us? Well, actually, yes, there is something more important, and people like Judas could have done with being told the same thing as well. Yes, Jesus does outwit the scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees, and teachers of the law often, but that was not his purpose. He wasn't going to save mankind by just trying to change the minds of those who were in authority. And people like John the Baptist needed to see that Jesus was not wasting his efforts by not putting every ounce of his strength into rooting out these people. Jesus was not neglecting God's plan. John needed to again be reminded of the bigger picture. He did know the truth, and that is why John only needed to be reminded of what it was that Jesus was doing and how he was miraculously helping anyone who came to him in trust and with faith. But until that moment, John's own faulty expectations would continue to bewilder his own imagination and cause him to doubt. "Is Jesus the one, or should we expect another?" he said almost in defiance. But we should understand this rather as simple annoyance and ignorance, with a touch of willingness to listen. John genuinely wanted to know. He had spent his whole ministry preparing for the Messiah. It is, of course, important that such a man has all doubt removed. You're listening to Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. We'll take a break now, and when we come back, we'll continue with more on what it is to have doubt as a Christian. Is it what it seems to be, or is it something which actually identifies where our trust really lies? Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I am Pastor Gordon Naumann, and this is Faith That Functions.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
Let's find out why people go to Bible studies.
They really help me to understand what the passage is all about.
To understand all that the passages mean.
Being with other people and discussing various verses.
Because it gives me a chance to get deeper into God's Word and to think out what I really believe.
Pastor, why are Bible studies important?
Bible study is so important because we go to God's Word because He speaks to us through it.
Through the study of the Bible, God provides comfort and guidance for life. Go to Lutheran.co.uk to find the Lutheran church that is closest to you and join your local Lutheran Bible study group.
Bible study, great food, great fellowship, and you even get to learn a little bit about God.
This is Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people.
Before the break, we were talking about the concept that as Christians, even we can doubt. But we should also see that we can use these instances as opportunities to cling to the one who can remove all sense of worry and anxiety, without a doubt. If you, the listener, have any questions or comments, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Back to the sermon. Of course, we know that Jesus was only too happy to accommodate such a loyal servant as John, as he does of all the prophets of old. He sent Joshua to be with Moses when he doubted his own performance. He humored Abraham as he questioned the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah time after time. He gave Joseph the power to interpret dreams. He shaded Jonah with the instant sprouting of a tree when he sat on the mount waiting for God's wrath to be vested upon Nineveh. He asks Peter to grab a fish from their catch and open its mouth to give the Romans a gold coin. Not only does God give us what we need, Sometimes he does it in a way for us to see how ridiculous it is for us to worry about what we have in the first place, for he can so easily provide anything and everything. He is God. Yet along with John, we too have faulty expectations, don't we, about Jesus and about what we think we need. Our faith in Jesus should reflect what it means to not worry about suffering illness, losing our job, being separated from loved ones, and even staring death in the face. However, some things can throw us into a spin and cause us to doubt, even if it be but a small measure, whether Jesus' concerns are our concerns, whether his priorities are the same, namely, my happiness. Are we not just thrown into doubt when suffering comes? But if we ever are, it is because we have lost sight of who he is and what he has done, what he has suffered for us. And at no point does John give up. He doubts, yes, but he has no doubt that Jesus will answer his questions. Really, he still shows complete faith as John takes his doubts to Jesus. He sends his disciples to him, and they speak his word. And without question, Jesus responds spectacularly. His explanation is in his action. Tell John what you have seen and what you have heard. It will be evident that I am fulfilling the scriptures as the Messiah. By this answer, Jesus shows that now is the time for grace. Evidently, judgment will come, but now is the time for mercy. There is no doubt that Jesus is the one who was sent from God and is our Savior, whereby John the Baptist was right all along, a true prophet. It took one to know one. But of course, Jesus was and is more than a prophet. He is the only one born of woman, but without sin. He is the only one who could become the least in the kingdom, i.e. he went to the cross, and therefore also make every sinner the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, by becoming saved, by being given faith to believe in him, to trust in him for salvation. Jesus, therefore, is the one we can look to for assurance with all our doubts, for he has reconciled us to God. Are you worried about your sickness here on earth, really? Well, there will be no sickness in heaven. Are you worried about your job security here on earth? Well, your retirement plan for paradise has already been paid for. Do you miss terribly your father or mother or grandfather or sister who has already passed away? One day there will be the greatest family reunion in the history of mankind as we rejoin every one of our brothers and sisters in Christ in heaven. We could confess those same words to Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Because those are not words of doubt, necessarily. They are words of longing. Words to cry out to our dear Lord with, to gain his ear so that he may comfort us with his word, just as John was looking for. John absolutely came to terms with his faith as he asked 100% the right question. Jesus encouraged his own disciples to ask that question of themselves. Who do you say that I am? Knowing that he gave them plenty of reasons for believing that he was indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. The only thing that changes at times are our own expectations about our Lord, and sometimes they even contradict our own experience of the grace of God. But what we should not be left with is some sort of a spiritual crisis with our questions and doubts. But of course, this will only be if you are reminded that you have been reconciled to God. Like John, we too may bring our questions to Jesus, but we ask them correctly, reverently, and in trust that he will give us an answer. And Jesus' reply will almost indefinitely be something like this: Go and tell what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. The podcast of this program, as well as previous episodes, are available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Naumann. I serve a lovely congregation in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. Thank you for listening. If you want to hear more, then tune in next week as we again delve into the richness of God's Word in the next episode of Faith That Functions, where we will again find out what the text meant for the audience of its time, who Jesus was speaking to, and what it means for us today. Let us discover together again the wisdom of Scripture. God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you soon on Lutheran Radio UK.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Check our program times online at lutheranradio.co.uk and stay tuned. All of our programs are broadcast on Greenwich Mean Time. Look up our website for the times in your region.